Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday. QT and Sun Guy with you as normal. Real fast, before we get into things, if you're looking for some wrestling today, you have Blue Collar Wrestling happening in Portland, Oregon as usual. You have Without a Cause Wrestling up here in Everett, Washington. And you have PTW in Paris, Kentucky today. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest today. He is from our very own Pacific Northwest. He is known as Rad. Rad, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Doing very well. Now, since it is your first time with us, we are going to start you out with the traditional first-timer question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, I've been a fan for a long time, since I was a kid. Just grew up watching wrestling for like the last 25 years, and just found some local promotions around Spokane area, and always wanted to step into the ring. And so when I had the opportunity, I got some training and did what I could, and I've been doing this for about a year and a half now. So.
Now, training here in the Pacific Northwest is a little bit limited compared to other parts of the country, just because of geographical and logistical situations. How easy was it for you when you decided to do this to find the proper training?
Not very easy. A lot of it came from seminars and just picking things up where I could. You're right, there isn't a whole lot of traditional training over here, so a lot of it was just picking up things where I could, learning from people that have been around here and then people that have come through for different stuff. So I'm definitely still learning. I mean, I'm sure everybody is, but I'm definitely still in a phase of, like, there's a lot I still got to learn, so.
Now, recently, you were in a tag team match that I heard about. I was not present for it. I was studying a rule book at the time. But you teamed recently with the man that I probably hate more than anyone in this business, that idiot Darth Carta. It made me question your sanity and your good taste in tag team partners. What led you to decide to tag team with someone like Darth Carta?
It was more of a last resort, I think. I questioned my sanity teaming with him, too. He didn't know where he was. He was trying to get the fans all riled up, but really he was staring at a wall. So, I kind of questioned my sanity a bit, too, step into the ring with him. And it didn't really turn out too well for us. He ended up taking a pretty big move, and we lost. So, but I wasn't the one that was pinned. So I'm gonna put it on him. So, I can see why he's your enemy.
I have beaten him so many times; it's ridiculous. I once even took an actual broom and swept him out of the ring. Is there a chance that you're going to give him another shot? Are you going to try to tag team with him one more time at least to see if it works out, which I'm sure it won't, but is that your plan for now?
maybe if our paths cross again, we'll step into the ring together. Maybe I could face him at some time. That too, that might be a maybe. If we could see how that goes.
That would be nice. I do have a bounty out on, like, his career. So if you were to end his career, it's upwards of $50.
Oh, sweet! I could use that. It's like dinner in a movie.
Exactly. Now, obviously, you had the tag match there with Darth Carta, and you've done a little tagging other places, but you also wrestle quite a bit as a singles competitor, I think probably more often than not. Do you have a personal preference when it comes to tag team wrestling versus singles wrestling?
I started out as a tag team wrestler when I made my debut at Cascade Championship Wrestling in Spokane. I was teamed up with a guy named Andrew Michelson, and that's how I started most. How I've wrestled for probably about a year. It's only been in the last 6 months that I've broke out and been a singles wrestler. I had a lot of singles matches throughout my tag team time too, but yeah, there's advantages to both. Being a singles wrestler, you get chance to be yourself and to show your personality. Tag teams are fun. Tag teams are fun, especially if you have a partner that you can work with, that you know each other's moves, you know how you can mesh well. There's definitely its advantages. So,
now, another
my tag team partner
part
that I did have.
That you have experience with is managers. You sometimes have a manager with you. That's sort of, I don't want to say a dying art, but it's something that's not been focused on as heavily from the national companies the last decade or so. On the independents, you still see some good managers out there. What do you think of the art of managing, and what do you think of having a manager yourself in certain places?
In Cascade, I had a manager, Greg Rentz. He was a good manager. I think in some circumstances, it's great to have that little bit backup in case you ever need it. And in Reactivate, I've got a guy named Aaron Fowler that him and I have a plot down Aaron Wild, the general manager of Reactivate. So it's a good thing to have. I like to talk trash, so it's good having a little bit of backup, but I like to be the voice for a lot of things and just have a little bit of backup when it comes to somebody to say something or to get involved if I need it.
Now, you mentioned there at Reactivate Pro having Aaron Fowler as your manager. Reactivate is a newer company. They've done very well in the couple of shows they've ran. What do you think of Reactivate Pro as a new company, and what do you think of being paired up with Aaron Fowler as a manager?
Other than Reactivate being in the stinky, disgusting town of Richland, Washington, and being run by Aaron Wild, it's a good place. I mean, every time I've gone there, they've pitted me up against a worthy opponent. It hasn't always worked out in my favor, but it's a good place. They bring in some good talent, some good names. They have some good matches. They put on some good shows. The audience usually stinks. They're just a disgusting group of people. But that's just Richland for you. But as a place to go and wrestle, I think I'll come back. I think I'll go back as much as they want me. And anything I can do to aggravate and to just push Aaron Wild a little bit closer to the edge, I think I'll do.
Now, you were a little upset set, I guess would be the correct term, over the poster for the last show, the second show they had there in Richland. You wanted a whole lot more of yourself on that poster, it seemed like. They've just released the poster for next week's Reactivate Pro show in Richland. Are there any plans in place for you to retool that poster and make it much more rad heavy?
See, with the first, with the poster for the last show, I took the liberties of changing it up to making it more about me, which is what the show should be about. It's about me. It should be about me being there. I don't have to resort to the same tactic every single time. I don't have to do the same thing every single time. I'll have my ways of messing with Aaron, of showing why I should be there, why I should be the front of the, why I should be the poster. But I don't have to resort to the same tactic. People should just come to Reactivate next weekend, next Sunday, and they should just come and see what I have planned, because I've got some things up my sleeve.
Next week is a unique show for Reactivate Pro because there will be some new talent coming into the company. A few people that have not appeared yet will be making their debuts, including Seattle's local celebrity Steve Miggs. He will be there for the first time. Steve Miggs, a relative newcomer to in-ring competition, but he's gaining a lot of traction, hitting a lot more promotions. Since you're relatively new as well, are you going to be looking at some of this newer talent with the eye of a scout and looking for not only possible future opponents, but maybe possible partners to try to help you take out Aaron Wild?
I'm looking for anybody that wants to join me in this crusade to just knock Aaron Wild out of his place. And I'm sure Steve Miggs, if he can find Richland, he said he can't find Richland, which I told him on Facebook that all he has to do is start heading towards Spokane from Seattle, and once he hits that wall of nauseating stench, then he can stop his car, and I'm sure he'll be in Richland.
Fair enough. Now, one of the people that started with Reactivate Pro and someone that will be there next week is someone that may not be on local shows for a whole lot longer because she has signed a full-time contract with AEW and will be full-time on their television starting in October. That is referee Aubrey Edwards, who has come a very long way in a very short span of time. I know you're familiar with her work as well, being an official for Reactivate Pro. What do you think of someone locally, especially for a company you appear, getting a national contract and sort of representing the Pacific Northwest at the highest stage?
Yeah, I think it's great for her. I've never had her referee one of my matches, but I think it's great for her. She's got incredible talent. She's definitely entertaining. From the things that she did with the dancing in 3-2-1 battle, and just how she gets involved in matches. I know she's got involved in matches when MJF was grabbing the ropes and kicking his feet. Just the way she interacts with the wrestlers and the way she referees matches is always entertaining and brings a whole nother level to it. So I'm everybody around here I know is really proud of her, and I'm glad to see her noticed for her talents. So I think that's great.
Now, another person that is with AEW, someone that also is local to our Pacific Northwest, Buddy Wayne Academy graduate Darby Allin. I don't know if you've come across Darby Allin on many shows that you've done, but he is also another Northwest talent that is out there in the national stage. with companies like Defy and 321 and Prestige all streaming and all gaining a lot of traction, not only in this region but from outside of the region, do you think that overall the Pacific Northwest might be the strongest it's been for independent wrestling?
Definitely from what I've seen, it's the strongest. I mean, it has its ups and downs and incidents and things, but with as much stuff is going on here, I definitely think that it is probably the strongest it's been with new companies popping up. I know 5CC just had their first show, and I think Maine has a show coming up soon. So there's new things popping up all the time, and I'd say it's definitely probably the strongest it's been.
In addition to the local scene, later this week, New Japan Pro Wrestling will be holding a show in Tacoma. Jushin Liger will be making one of his last appearances as he prepares to retire from wrestling. New Japan, of course, not only one of the biggest companies in Japan, it is one of the biggest companies in the entire world, and has gained a lot of traction in the United States. What do you think makes New Japan so successful stateside in the last couple of years?
Probably their influx of talent from over here and just meshing with their homegrown Japanese talent. I know that like with guys like Juice and stuff and Davey Boy going over there, that's bringing Western wrestlers over there and combining the two. Plus, they've also, obviously, you could tell they've been focusing on pushing New Japan over here with bringing in, doing English commentary and everything so that people can follow along a lot better. I think that's helped quite a bit. I know I would love to go. I love to see Juice Robinson, one of my favorites from over there. And so definitely making a push for it. So.
Now, in professional wrestling, there are a lot of sources to have wrestling gear made. Some of it looks less than professional quality. A lot of it is very, very high quality when you look at independent shows and what people are wearing. Who is your go-to for making your gear?
I had a lady from Facebook named Melody Simpson. It was Top Rope Apparel that made my gear. She did a really good job. But I know the ones that I follow that I'm looking at having gear made from are like Ava Braz does really good stuff. There's like a Alberto J. Ware, I think is what his name is. He makes really, really good stuff. So one of those two are probably who I'm going to go to next. But I had mine made by Top Rope Apparel and their name was Melody Simpson. She did an excellent job, and it's exactly what I wanted. I picked out the pattern and showed the lettering, told her exactly what I wanted, and it came out perfect. So.
Point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he has questions for you as well. So, Thez, help you as I pass you over to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Ryan.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Ryan, I saw your YouTube video entitled Ryan Anthony Duran versus Harley Hartson / Cascade Fallout. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners when and where this match took place?
It took place for Cascade Championship Wrestling last year. At our event, it was Cascade Fallout. It was August. Actually, I think it was September of last year. So Harley and I got put in a match because my opponent was going to be Gregor Petrov, and he couldn't make it to the show. So they put me in there with Harley, and didn't go too well for me, but
yes, at the 43-second mark of the video, the ring announcer did tell the crowd that Gregor Petrov refused to perform that night. My question is, have you ever found out why Gregor refused to perform? And are the rumors true that he was having trouble that night in a long-distance romance with a Russian mail-order bride?
Well, I don't know about the Russian mail-order bride, but I think he probably just thought that at the time that I wasn't a worthy competitor for him. But a lot of people underestimate me, I don't know if you've ever seen any of his other matches. He's a bulldozer, and he probably thought he could just plow right through me, but I don't think that would have happened that night.
Does he remind you of Umaga, the Samoan bulldozer? Umaga.
Nah, he's maybe not the face paint, but he's got some size to him, and he comes out with a chain around his neck, they call him the Russian pit bull. So he's kind of got that same kind of Umaga vibe going, but he scares me a bit.
Well, I think he got that chain idea from Hercules Hernandez. Yes.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Now, prior to this Cascade Fallout, had you wrestled Gregor before?
No. I've just seen him tear apart other people.
Oh, okay. Probably maybe some videos from Blue Collar Wrestling at
Exeter. Yeah, yeah. He wrestles for Blue Collar, and I know he went to Stoner U for training.
Oh, okay. Well, now sometimes he'll also bring jumper cables to the ring. Have you ever had jumper cables used on yourself in a ring? Maybe not necessarily by Gregor Petrov.
No, I remember when Kane used him on Shane McMahon though. I don't want that to happen to me though.
Yes, you would have to find a clamp on for the positive pole and a clamp on for the negative. Yes.
Yeah.
My question is, what poles did Kane use on Shane McMahon? Did he use his right bicep as a positive pole? I myself did not see the match.
I don't. He clamped him on his nuts. That's how he did it.
Oh. I was trying to avoid that. Oh my, that's terrible. Okay, well, now in that Cascade Fallout match that you had with Harley Hartson, the announcer said that your weight was 210 pounds. Was this your weight in your senior year in high school?
No, I think my senior year of high school is like about 180.
Oh, 180, okay.
Packed on a few pounds recently.
Can we ask what high school you went to and what your mascot was?
I went to Ferris High School in Spokane, and our mascot was a Saxon.
So, a Saxon?
Like the Saxon Warriors.
Oh, okay. That's kind of like a Viking, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. What were your school colors? This is very important.
Scarlet and silver.
Wow, scarlet and silver. Okay. That is a very frequently asked question that we ask all our guests on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes.
Nice.
Your school colors. Okay. Did you go on to college after your Ferris High School stint?
I dabbled in it a little bit. It just wasn't for me. So.
At any time, did you consider the military for a career after high school?
I was thinking about going into the Air Force. but that didn't work out either.
Oh, all right. Why the Air Force over the Army, the Navy, the Marines, or the Coast Guard?
I knew a guy that was in the Air Force, and he was talking to me about it and about the benefits of it, and it just seemed like it was a good military branch to join.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, the Coast Guard is phasing in a whole new line of high-endurance cutters and replacing all of their old high-endurance cutters that date back to the late 60s and early 70s.
Oh, wow.
I think you would have been a good cook in the Air Force or Coast Guard. A cook.
I'm okay at cooking. I'm more technologically inclined than anything else, I'd say.
What can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what a technically inclined cook would be?
I don't know. That would be interesting. Maybe I could make some robotics or something that would just do the cooking for me.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, in that Cascade Fallout match, were you surprised by the late substitution of Harley Hartson? And have you ever met him in the ring before the match?
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't expect him to be there. He had been out of action for a while, and so I didn't expect him to be there at all. And we'd never stepped in the ring before, but I knew he was he was definitely a bruiser. He throws some wicked punches, and I mean, as you can see, he basically knocked me out towards the end. So I didn't expect it to be him at all. So I was definitely surprised.
You didn't have a chance to scout any film of him before the match.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
You didn't have a chance to scout any film of him before
the
match.
No, but yeah, it was definitely a surprise. I mean, I knew a little bit of what to expect going in, but I didn't have a chance to be prepared for that. It was definitely a surprise, and he caught me with that elbow towards the end there, and I don't remember much else from that point on.
Wow. Now, why was he making a return from an injury? Was Harley Hartson from an injury?
Yeah. He had been out with a bit of an injury. I think he had a concussion or something like that.
Ooh, concussion. Wow. What are some of the injuries that you yourself have suffered in the ring?
I tore open my shin in one match. Got caught up on something and tore my shin down the bone. Had to get about 8 staples. Bruised a rib here and there. Nothing too bad. I've never, thankfully, never broken anything, never torn anything, never had anything that I really had to worry about or like heal up too bad from. So.
Wow. Yeah, your injury to your shin reminds me of a wrestler who got hit by a car recently, the tall man, 6'11", Jackson Price. Did you yourself hear of Jackson Price's injuries?
Yeah. I saw the next day after he had gotten hit by the car and everything, and he was pretty banged up. I think the car took more damage than he did, though, because hitting him's like hitting a brick wall.
Ooh, I was going to ask if he knew the make and model of the car that hit Jackson Price.
I don't know. I don't think they could recognize it after it hit him. I think it was crumpled like a ball of foil.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, he gave it. Harley Hartson gave you a hard knife-edge chop at the 3-minute and 1-second mark of the match. Would you say that this was in the top 10 of the hardest knife-edge chops you have received since January of 2018?
Yeah, maybe the top 10. Maybe probably 7 or 8 on that list. I've taken some pretty hard ones.
Okay. Well, you had three kicks to his left upper leg at the 4:16 mark of the match. Are you schooled in the ways of MMA, and did you study in a dojo?
No, never did any formal MMA training. I've taken some boxing training, but you're not allowed to kick in boxing. So that just seemed like it just seemed like a good resort. I was trying to get him down to the ground, trying to do anything I could so I could get an opening, and a few kicks just seemed like a good idea.
In your opinion, how well could you have done in the Rex Kwan dojo in the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, as long as I had the pants that he had, like, I think I would have excelled. Like, I think your attire meant more than anything there. So I think if I could get the pants that he had on and the outfit, I think that I would have been like whatever his top belt was in no time.
How well do you think you would have done against Kip?
Oh,
Napoleon's friend.
Yeah, I would kick the crap out of him.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Smashed. I would probably have smashed his computer over and after. Then he couldn't have talked to his girlfriend. Yeah.
I don't know. I think LaFonda would have been pretty protective of Kip. LaFonda.
Yeah, she probably could have beat me. I would have to. Yeah. Him.
Now,
him I could take her. I don't know.
Oh. Well, you could always go out to prime rib with LaFonda and steal her from Kip. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
That would work.
In your opinion, who has the better belly-to-belly suplex, Harley Hartson or Gregor Petrov?
I don't think I've ever seen Gregor do a belly-to-belly suplex, but I would think that probably Gregor, if he does one, just because he's got that size that you go up, and then what goes up must come down, and he's coming down on you too. So I would say probably Gregor.
I think throughout the years, Sign Guy himself has seen Gregor Petrov do several belly-to-belly suplexes. Yes. Okay. Well, now Harley hit a seldom-used discus back elbow at the 5:27 mark of the match. My question is, did you yourself throw the discus for your high school track team?
Nope, never did. Never did any track, field and track stuff. I played baseball.
Oh, okay.
But any of the discus moves. I was a big fan of Kerry Von Erich, and he threw the discus punch. So definitely have respect for Harley because that's an awesome move to throw. But never did track and field.
Yes. Elbows can really open up some of the tissue on the face. Elbows.
Oh, yeah.
Or the ears.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, after announcing that he was officially entering the 2018 Monster Mash Rumble, Harley dropped the microphone onto your stomach. Now
he dropped it a little lower than that, actually. He dropped it a little bit lower than that. Yeah, it was definitely a nut shot.
And since that you have not been able to get a microphone drop on him.
Nope, not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of Northwest wrestlers, in your opinion, who is the better technical wrestler, the Lumberjack or Mikey the Mustache Selleck?
Technical wrestler? Probably Mikey. Lumberjack's, I would say Lumberjack's more of a brute. I faced him at the first Reactivate show, and he literally threw me across the ring. Mikey's definitely more meticulous and more calculated on what he does. I'm actually facing him this coming Friday at Cascade.
Wow, okay. All right.
I think I might try to rip his mustache right off his face.
Whoa, dressed. Oh, that's strong words. Yes. I think you'd have better luck with the dress that he's now wearing. The dress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, do you know what color it is? I know he's got to rock that dress for a while.
It's kind of like a chartreuse purple red. Yes.
Oh, sure. Nice.
Okay.
Go get him a nice brooch that he can wear with it or something.
A diamond brooch, yes. Oh, okay. Well, now, I was there July 20th at Woo America at La Problemita's when you teamed with Darth Carta. My question is, did you make it to Richland the following day? And if so, was Darth Carta also at Richland?
Yeah, I did make it to Richland the next day, and I didn't see Darth Carta anywhere. I think he was still, I don't know, maybe knocked out or hurt or something, but he wasn't there. So, yeah, I don't know. Did Sign Guy see him anywhere? Because I didn't see him.
They also.
I didn't see him, but if I had, I like to think I would have taken him out at the knees and ripped his eye out.
I probably would have helped you. I mean, he did lose a match for us the night before, so.
And I'm pretty confident when I say that if you hadn't lost that match, you probably would have won it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Was Zach Wilde at Richland? That on the 20th?
Oh. Yeah, he was there. He was there, and me and Aaron Fowler were sure to make sure that he knew that we weren't happy, and that we were there to make things hell for him. So he put me up against Guerrero Azteca that night, though, and cleanly. I didn't have any help. Didn't do anything to cheat. Did nothing wrong. I pinned Guerrero Azteca right there. 1, 2, 3, no problem. Aaron Fowler had nothing to do with it. He wasn't holding Guerrero's feet or anything like that. People may think that that's what happened, but that wasn't happening at all. He was just sitting there ringside, just being a nice person and just cheering me on.
Wow. How long did that match last?
It was about 15 minutes.
Can you remember what the temperature was at the time? Because Richland can get pretty hot.
Yeah, it can get pretty hot, stinky, and just in general, it's really gross. Outside, it was about 95.
Wow, 95. Okay. Well, now I've heard a couple times where people have compared Guerrero Azteca to Darth Carta, except Guerrero Azteca doesn't usually resort to the eye pokes that much.
I don't know. Guerrero Azteca is definitely a lot bigger than Darth Carta. I mean, I couldn't see Darth Carta's muscles through his bodysuit, but Guerrero Azteca, I mean, he's pretty jacked.
Oh, okay. In your opinion, who has the better food, La Problemita's in Bremerton, Washington, or the Museum Event Center?
I wouldn't eat the food at either one of them. There's not enough bathrooms close enough by for me to eat the food at either one of them.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Have you ever attended a seminar where both the Lost Soul Garibay and Darth Carta were present at the same time? The seminar.
What was the first one?
Have you ever attended a seminar where both Lost Soul Garibay and Darth Carta were present?
No, never attended a seminar with either one of them.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, now, when you teamed with Darth Carta in July in Bremerton, how well did you think Darth Carta was going to match up against Pure Dominance member Sonny O'Mara?
I've heard that they've had matches before together, and so I was hoping that that Darth Carta would be able to lead us to the victory because I was unfamiliar with the opponents, and he didn't do that, so.
Well, the referee for this match was Pops Ballard. In your opinion, is he one of the better referees in the Northwest? Pops Ballard.
Dave is a good referee, other than he counted the 1, 2, 3 for the wrong people. And then at one point I was getting choked by a chef, and I don't think he noticed, but...
Wow, okay. Gee.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in your opinion, would a Sunny Days and Dave Hollenbach make one of the best mixed-gender tag team teams in the Northwest? And if so, what would they be called?
I think they'd be great. Dave Hollenbach's definitely has got great talent, and Sonny's been rocking it around here for quite a while. I think they would make a great tag team, but let's see, what's a good name for them? I don't know. I'm trying to think of something good. What's it, what was that?
How about Sunny Side Up?
That's great.
Because I think their talent will take them all the way up to the top. Up to the top.
Yeah.
Sunny.
Up,
okay.
Up to the top.
Now, if you yourself had to choose a woman's partner to face Sunny and Dave Hollenbach, should they ever team up, who would be your number one choice? Would it be Sarah Irene?
I've never actually seen her wrestle. There's a lot of good female wrestlers in the Northwest that would be great tag team partners. I know from what I've seen over in Cascade, Shayla Carver is definitely a great women's wrestler. She's tough and she knows how to get it done in the ring, so she would be a great tag team partner.
Wow, okay, all right. Now, speaking of Sarah Irene, are you yourself a big fan of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times, and did you see Sign of the Times number 350 with Sarah Irene?
I did not. I've actually never seen it before.
Oh, well, okay. You might want to do a homework assignment where you watch Sign of the Times episode 350. The Sarah Irene edition.
I'll definitely check it out.
And may I also recommend, well, that's first priority. Second priority might be the Sign of the Times episode 250, the Moose edition.
Oh, nice.
The Moose, yes.
The Moose?
Oh, okay.
The moose is on the loose?
There may have been a moose on the loose, yes. Or perhaps the Sign of the Times episode 240, the leg press edition.
The leg press edition?
Yes, that came from an undisclosed leg press machine in the general vicinity of that area. Yes, it was a leg press machine.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I hope that you have continued success, or maybe lack thereof, but an opportunity with Darth Carter in 2019.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Rad, you mentioned Sonny O'Mara as being one of the opponents you faced. He's known for his trash talking all over the Pacific Northwest. In fact, I once fined him $500 for swearing in a match. Have you ever encountered anyone more vocal than Sonny O'Mara?
No, definitely not. I wasn't happy that they beat us at the end. I tried to get a word with him after the match in the back, and he just kept talking over me, and I couldn't get a word in.
Not very surprising. Now, one of the things that a lot of fans enjoy in this day and age of wrestling is submission-based wrestling. A lot of great submission holds have been applied over the last, 10 to 15 years that are sort of new to professional wrestling as MMA and mixed martial arts have become more popular. You've seen more submissions popping up. Do you have a personal favorite submission hold?
I haven't used it a whole lot, but I really like the Texas Cloverleaf. It's just a kind of an interesting take on a leg-based submission. That's kind of it. Like, I really like the Cloverleaf, and I should adopt it into my arsenal. Like Daniel Bryan's lapel lock is a good one too. Just those ones where once you get them locked in, it's definitely difficult to get out of.
Now the LaBelles, of course, were very well known. They ran the Los Angeles territory, in fact, for many, many years. Judo Gene was a legend, as well as his brother Mike, who was more known as a promoter. Being a fan of the LaBelle lock, did you ever study much about the history of the LaBelle family in professional wrestling?
No, I haven't, but I'm constantly finding new things to study and watch and learn from, so it's definitely something I should look into.
Fair enough. One of the ways that pro wrestlers, particularly on the independent circuit, make their money is merchandising. Sometimes wrestlers can make more at the merchandising table than they do their actual pay for the match. Do you have a lot of merchandising out there that fans can purchase?
I do, actually. It shows I have a goes with just my look. I have a light up bracelets that are spiked. I have I'm kind of a party guy type of the character, and so I sell hacky sacks. I've got glow sticks. I always come to the ring in light up shutter shades. So I sell those. I've got stickers. I'm working on T-shirts right now that I should have probably next month, and stuff. So anything I can get to go along with my bright look that I have going, I've taken advantage of. So.
One of the interesting things I noticed yesterday was 5CC Wrestling, that had their first ever show up in Bellingham, Washington, utilized a five-sided ring. Promotions have toyed with different ring concepts in the past to kind of mixed results. What do you think of promotions that use anything different than your standard four-sided ring?
I think it's good to branch out and try new things. There's with how wrestling evolves so much and how everybody's coming up with new moves and different things to do, that a five-sided ring gives you more opportunity to experiment and to try new things and see what can be done. And also brings a new aspect to wrestling. And like I said, it's evolving so fast that you have to keep with the times and you have to keep creating something new so you don't get just left behind or So it's definitely interesting, and I'm excited to see. I've seen some clips from the show. Excited to see more of it, just to see how they were innovative and what they did that was different.
One of the more standout independent wrestlers in our region right now is Dave Turner. He travels on almost a weekly basis to different parts of the country. He's been in quite a few number of places over the last couple of years. He's become very proficient, works for a large number of different companies. Also has put out a pretty successful line of merchandise. He has a lot to offer, sells a lot of merchandise at shows. Have you ever picked up a piece of Dave Turner merchandise, and do you follow his career path very closely, seeing as how he's one of the more full-time wrestlers in the region?
I've never gotten any of his merch, but I do follow him on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm always looking to see what he's up to and what he's doing. He puts out some really good promo type videos that are just super quality, and then there's always, I always see good clips from him. I think today I saw a clip from him from 5cc where he was up on the top rope, went off the top rope, but I do follow him very actively just to see what he's up to and what's going on, and he's good about posting stuff out and sharing stuff, so there's always good content to see from him and to keep up on his career. So,
looking outside of the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of very successful independent wrestlers, some of which can do professional wrestling full-time independently without the aid of a national contract. Who are some of the independent wrestlers out there that you look at as sort of an inspiration for your own career?
Just any of them that are getting out there and posting on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff regularly are definitely, they're kind of setting out the layout for what to do and to keep an eye on. I know just like Joey Janela is really great about doing that stuff and just self-promoting his own shows, and all of the videos and things that he does are definitely really high quality and really kind of like lay the game plan and the layout of how you should do things. So,
and also in that mix is the lady wrestlers. There's a lot of them also doing a lot of big things independently. A lot of them also can make pretty close to full-time livings as an independent. One of them, someone that has come to the Pacific Northwest a number of times, and she travels all over the country, that being Casey Carlisle. Have you ran into her in any of the shows you've been on yet?
I have not. I haven't ran into her on any of them. I've been on shows with like Kikyo, Fallen Flower, Danica De La Rouge was at the last Reactivate show. Holodead was on a show that I was at, and a few others. But as far as traveling people, that's about it.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show here today, so I'm going to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything that you have, merchandise, social medias, upcoming appearances, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Awesome. This coming Friday, you can see me at Cascade Championship Wrestling in Spokane, Washington. I'll be at the Museum Event Center. I'll be taking on Mike Selick. It's in the Cascade Classic 3. And then that Sunday, this coming Sunday, I am taking on a whole bunch of people. We're in a contract match. Whoever wins gets a contract for any match they want. That's for Pro Wrestling. That's in Richland, Washington. And that's this coming Sunday. And then as far as social media, I've got a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and all of them. My username is Duran, D-U-R-A-N, is Rad. So Duran is rad. So pretty much anything you can at do the at sign Duran is rad on pretty much anything to find. So.
Well, Rad, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your Sunday to be with us here.
Yeah, thank you guys. Nice talking to you.
All right, fans, definitely if Rad's on a show near you, go check out what he does. I think he's going to be in for a nice, long, successful career. Good things already happening for him, except for teaming with that idiot Darth Carter. What a horrible life choice that was.
Yeah, it was something that I regret.
Oh, come on.
I don't blame you for regretting it.
Yeah, I don't think
fans,
I want to team with,
wrap up
team
today,
with him.
I want to let you know that we had a couple of passings in the last week here in the wrestling industry. The wrestling pro, Ted Baxter, passing away earlier this week, as did a very long-time Memphis legend, Eddie Marlin. Eddie Marlin, the father-in-law of Jerry Jarrett, the promoter. Eddie was, of course, a wrestler at one point in time. He was a promoter. He was the commissioner for Memphis Wrestling. Very loved and respected in the Memphis wrestling circuit for decades and decades. So as we end today, we're going to hit the 10 bell in memory of those that passed.